This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie. I like how I got first Billy
going.
You know,
that's funny because I had the exact same thought. I wondered, how did that happen? Going to have to talk to those boys.
Usually it's Digital Dave and Fast Eddie. We go alphabetically, but...
Alphabetically? I thought it was the prettier of the one went
you
first.
You know, the money I sent those Aussie guys did help.
It did work. Did work.
Hey, guess who we've got with us this morning? We've got
let me guess.
Yeah, we've got two guests here. We've got Richard Zadow, and introduce yourself, please.
Brian McKinney.
Brian McKinney. Write that down.
I am.
There's going to be a quiz later.
There always is. And you guys are from the Rutan Flying Experience.
That's correct. Rutan Aircraft Flying Experience. Yeah, we're a nonprofit that's focused on Burt Rutan's airplanes, all of his home-built designs. We've been around now for 6 years. 2019, we kind of reached our peak with performing in the air show. We put up something for EA that they'd asked some help with when Burt was here, and we flew every one of Burt Rutan's designs in front of the crowd that day on Burt Rutan Day. We had long easies, very easies in the air, the world's only flying very vegan at the time, Defiant, and the Solitaire didn't fly, but it was here on display because there's not many of those flying, actually only one. And it wasn't flying at the time. So, but since we introduced Brian, let me start off with that. In the last couple of years, we haven't been idle. We've grown a lot, and we've grown not just in airframes, but with people. And Brian McKinney is here because he's our new vice president. Rutan Aircraft Flying Experience is probably the largest fleet operator of Rutan home builds. We have six of them now. And Brian, I met about a year ago when he came to us with a very easy that he had refurbished and brought down to Covington, and we did some test flying for him and a little bit of work, and he went through our flight training program, the Kennard Flight Academy, which is on our website. And he started off with one very easy, and now how many do you have, Brian?
I have three.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
They just keep following him home from school.
That's right. So I think Brian has a little bit of enthusiasm for this, and so we welcomed him into the staff, and it's just symbolic of how much we're growing. It's gotten Rutan Aircraft Flying Experience was something that I had this crazy idea back in 2015. And I
remember that.
Yeah. Brought the Cozy Jet up here, and everybody thought I was just nuts. But what we've accomplished in the last 6 years is just overwhelming me. So we got to the point where our one-man band doesn't work anymore, and our board of directors have grown, our staff officers are growing, and our fleet has grown. So the airplane that I brought up this year, we just got in May, and it's an incredibly good story. Dr. Sid Tolchin built the airplane with his party, Ed Estad, about 35 years ago. And one of the first things he did with it is he jumped in the airplane and flew to Ireland.
Wow.
His first long easy to land in Ireland. And he flew it everywhere, prolifically. I mean, he put 3,500 hours on the airplane. But unfortunately, he turned 88 years old, and the insurance company dropped him.
Ooh.
And he couldn't find insurance. And he called me up and said, Richard, I can't get insurance. And, you know, I'm a retired neurosurgeon, and I've got, you know, family and everything. And I just can't fly without insurance. And he lives in Southern California on top of that. So my first reaction was, Dr. Tolchin, we'd love to have your airplane, but what I'd rather see is you fly. Let me see if I can help you get insurance. And I got him in touch with the people that work with us, Aviation Insurance Resources, who is we worked with very closely to insure our fleet, and they've been really, really gracious on helping us keep our costs down. And Tracy Martin from AAR, I got her talking to Dr. Tolchin, and unfortunately, there's just no way. And so finally he said, well, I'm just going to donate the airplane to you guys because I like what you do. And that kind of parlays right into the forum that we have on Saturday. In 2019, I stuck my neck out, and I had a second forum that I called the Future of Rutan Design Symposium. And I don't know what I was thinking, but I wanted an open panel where people could, an open mic kind of thing, where people could ask questions of some really rock star people in home building. And to much to my surprise, that year I had five people up there. Leonard Mulholland, the guy that does Eagle kits. He's 95 years old. He's designed 15 airplanes. He's still building stuff. Had Paul Harrop from AOPA because he gets around and sees things. Robert Harris from Jet Guys. Dwayne Swing from Velocity. And unbelievably, Dick Van Gersen walks up, and he became part of it. And the interaction between the audience and all that panel was fantastic. But after the experience with Dr. Tolchin, I said, wait a minute. We're all headed this way. And it kind of rubbed me the wrong way that an insurance company decided for someone that they were done flying.
Right.
So this year, we're still going to have the open mic on Saturday morning. But the topic's going to start with aging pilots and insurance, and Tracy Martin's going to be there and some other people from the insurance agency, and just talk about what we can do to mitigate the inevitable, you know, and how to manage your insurance so that you don't wind up in the same situation. You know, we ought to be able to decide for ourselves when we're done flying. So, and Brian's been very helpful working all that stuff, and we're still not sure who exactly is going to be there Saturday morning except for Tracy and Dwayne Swain, because he just turned 85 and they dropped him too. So he said, this hit home, I'll be there. So we're still kind of collecting a few other people, but it'll be a great time. So I just wanted to remind everybody about that forum. But RFE is doing really, really well. We're glad to be here. We brought a bunch of airplanes. They're up here on Easy Street, just past the home-built hangar. I'm surprised today I still have a voice because I'm talking to so many people. And we're just having a blast. If you're interested at all in Rutan Designs, come see us.
Now, do you have any idea of the numbers of Rutan Designs that were actually built and flown over the years?
That's a number that's hard to get to grasp, because there were so many sets of plans sold, and that number's not as elusive, because I've heard everything up to Bert sold about 15,000 sets of Long Easy plans. But the airplanes keep popping up. I've talked to several people who are about to finish the airplane, and one of the issues is that a lot of people think that it takes a long time to build an easy. I've got an article online at Kitplanes entitled Quick Build is a State of Mind, and it talks about people I know that have built their airplanes in incredible short periods of time. I mean, Bert built a Long Easy in 9 months, but that was his job. But you got here on a flight line to see Ken Swain's a little very easy. He built it in, I think, 16 months while he was on active duty flying 141s for the Air Force, because he was never home. But he had a great statement. He said, the most important tool I ever had to build my airplane was a pair of scissors to cut the cord on the TV.
Yeah,
so it's
a
state of mind and a commitment, and you can build these airplanes. You don't need to spend decades building them. Yeah, so Brian will tell you that. How long did it take you to refurbish your Very Easy?
About 4 months. I picked it up in December of 2019, and by April, I had it ready to go. And
that was from an unflying airplane that sat for how long?
16 years.
Yeah.
So. Okay, and it had previously flown, though.
It had 570 hours on it from the original builder, but then sat.
He practically rebuilt it. It's a gorgeous job. It's down there at second from the end on Easy Street. Gorgeous little Very Easy.
Well, that brings up a whole question of buying a used fiberglass canard design. How do you inspect the airframe?
The first thing I tell people is find out who built it. Very few of these were built in a vacuum. And even if they were built 40 years ago, somebody knows somebody who knew that builder. Okay, and then you start asking questions. And the truth of the matter is, any easy out there today that's flying is a known quantity. And if it's been flying for a long time, it's probably a pretty good airframe structurally. It might need new radios, it might need new wiring and stuff like that. But if it's a known quantity, it's probably a good airplane. And then come to us. We talk to everybody, you know, and we know a lot of folks. So if you're interested in a long easy, you find one in the back of a barn somewhere, find out who built it, get a hold of us, we'll network it out, and then we'll find out the history of the airplane.
Okay, cool.
I was curious, you know, with composites and everything, you can't look at it like you can an aluminum airframe and say, well, you've got corrosion here and this and that. How would you structurally inspect a fiberglass airplane?
Well, there are standards for fiberglass, but you do, you know, you do debonding tests, you do tap tests, stuff like that. But my experience with the airplanes, I've owned a Very Easy for 37 years, and airframe-wise, there's very little that goes wrong. Once the airthing's built, it's structurally pretty much sound. The metal parts are, you know, corrosion. They're the things that are going to corrode. Fiberglass doesn't corrode. And as far as worrying about the strength of the structure, listen, nobody's tried to pull the wings off a Very Easy harder than me. and these things are tanks. They really are. So I don't have any issues with not being able to inspect the inside of the wing, because there's nothing inside the wing to see but foam anyways. No.
Okay. And I guess surface cracks would be a dead giveaway of some sort of an issue.
Yeah, but most of the surface cracks we find are in the finish.
Okay.
Yeah. Very seldom do you see anything that penetrates into the plies. So the micro, the things that fill the weave after you're done, and the paint, that's stuff that cracks. You know, I said I bent my wings in a Very Easy lot. I'm an old fighter guy. I'm frustrated. I go out there and dogfight, and I come back, and over time, there's these little cracking around certain places where they flex. because when you bend something, something's got to give, you know. Mm-hmm. But structurally, the airplane is not going to break. If you go back in the history of Rutan stuff about the canard pusher newsletters, there's pictures of people at the Rutan Aircraft Factory standing on a canard. There's like 10 people crammed on this thing. It is bowed down, almost touching the ground. It's on the sawhorses. And unofficially, I've actually heard that the airplane was built for many more G's than what it specifies. Bert said something in one of his talks that he thought anybody who built the airplane and the process that he used was such that the average guy, okay, that built it per the plans, it's well overbuilt. So.
Okay. Where do we find out more about the Rutan Aircraft Flying Experience?
Our website's a good place, rutanafe.org. And if you're here today and want to talk, or here this week, come on down to Easy Street and find me parked next to Sid Tolchin's airplane by the home-built hangar.
All right. I want to thank you for joining us and bringing Brian along.
Yeah.
Sounds like he needs a bigger hangar.
He does.
Yeah, they keep breeding.
And a very understanding wife.
He has no idea what he's gotten into.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.